verse 45, where Jesus asked the question, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house, to get household, to give them meat in due season?" Who then is a wise and faithful servant? We know that Jesus will come back to this earth. In verse 30 of chapter 24, the Bible tells us, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." In verses 32 and 33, the Bible tells us that we know that His coming is near, even at the door. I don't think I need to further establish the fact that Jesus Christ in person, the very same one that was crucified and the very same one that was raised from the dead, is coming again. I don't think I need to prove that to anybody in this room. So we ask ourselves, what do we know about this coming of Jesus Christ? In verse 29, the Bible tells us that we know there are signs of His coming. Chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see, now notice, the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we know the signs of His coming, and we know the season of His coming. These are things we know. What do we not know about the coming of Christ? We don't know the hour, for this is what Jesus said, and we do not know the day. This is also what Jesus said. So we do know signs, and we do know seasons. We do not know the hour, and we do not know the day. Jesus will come unexpectedly, only to the world. In verses 37 and 39 of our scripture that we're studying today, the Bible tells us, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Well, what were the days of Noah? What were they like? "For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away." In other words, they had been warned, but then the floods came and took them away. And it gives to us the impression that they knew there were people who were stating that it would occur, but they, in their unbelief, continued to live life as though the flood were not a fact. And in so doing, they were caught unexpectedly, and the door to the ark was shut, and they perished in the flood. We understand that's true of the second coming of Christ. He will be unexpected to the world and unexpected to the evil servant. In verse 48 of this same chapter, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming," which gives to us the attitude of those people who are saved people, and yet they are so distraught or discouraged, or who get so frustrated by hearing that Jesus is coming again that they finally become callous to this preaching and to the annunciation of this fact, and so they began to live like the rest of the world lives. So we know that He's coming unexpectedly to the world, that is, those who are not Christians, those who do not read and understand and believe the Word of God. He's coming unexpectedly to the saints who involve themselves with the world after their initial conversion. But he does not come unexpectedly to the people of God. Let's look at that fact. And I want to illustrate it and to get you to see the fact of it as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you would please turn in your Bibles there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Paul makes some things clear here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, what did I tell you? Times and seasons. You know the hour. You don't know the hour and the day, but you know the times and the seasons. You know by looking at things that Christ is near in his coming. So he said, I don't have to write you about those things. For yourselves know perfectly. That is, you have a complete revelation and total knowledge that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we know that a thief comes unexpectedly. You say, well, that's me and you. No, that's not me and you. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Who is saying that? Who's the Lord going to come to as a thief in the night? To the people who are saying peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now notice verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Okay? Isn't that plain? Who's the Lord coming as a thief in the night? To whom will it be as a thief in the night? Well, to people who are saying peace and safety. To the people who are involved in dry cleaning the world and saying, hey, everything's great. Did you realize that this morning, if you watched any of the national news or read your newspaper, that we have gone to make peace in Bosnia. And that's the line that America is being told and given. We're not going to make war. This is the first time in the history of the Balkan geographic area so filled with all of the ethnic, religious differences, quarrels, and all for the last hundreds of years. Nations have sent armies in there to make war. And it never has succeeded. But we have sent our people and are sending them to make peace. Isn't that strange? We're not sending them to make war. Now we're sending tanks and troops with guns. It looks like war to me, don't it you? I mean, it looks like a war train. Looks like a warship. And the people are going that are worried they're going to get killed, aren't they? But we've changed the name of it, haven't we? We're not going to make war. We're going to make peace. But it's the same thing, isn't it? But the world is so enthused about it. Why? Isn't this wonderful? We're not going to make war. We're going to make peace. And that's so different than going to make war. Of course, we're going to carry guns. If they shoot at us, we're going to shoot at them. A lot like it was in World War II, wasn't it, Bob? I mean, it looks to me like about the same thing. But it's got a different name on it. And now we're going to make peace. So we do understand that the world can have this kind of attitude. And when this occurs, they're going to say peace and safety. In other words, this is what we're hoping to achieve. This is what we're looking at. This is what's going to occur. And then the Bible tells us that in this frame of mind, in this same kind of circumstance, then what's going to happen? Sudden destruction is going to come. And it's not going to accomplish that kind of peace they thought. The Antichrist is going to step in here with this crowd. And he's the person they're going to elect to run the world through the United Nations and other one world organizations. And then when Jesus comes, it's going to be total disaster for them. But notice verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye're all what? The children of light and the children of the day. We're not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You see, that's our position, to watch and be sober. We have seen the signs. We have seen the indications. We know that it's the season because of the things that have happened. And when we see all these signs, then the Bible tells us to lift up your head because your redemption draweth near. Now notice, therefore let us not sleep as do others in verse 6, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So we are not to be caught unexpectedly and to be surprised by the coming of Jesus Christ. I know that you're probably thinking, well, you know, if Jesus came, I'd really be surprised. Well, if that's true, then the information that we receive from the Word of God has not led us to the point that the signs will alert us not to be surprised at His coming. Now, in chapter 25, there is the parable of the 10 virgins. What we're going to look at in the parable of the 10 virgins are that there are 5 foolish and 5 wise, but they're all virgins. And what you're going to see is that 5 of them are prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, and 5 of them are unprepared for the coming of the bridegroom. And the 5 foolish virgins are not lost people, and the 5 foolish or the 5 wise ones are the wise saved people, because they're exactly the same character. There are 10 virgins, okay? Not 5 virgins and 5 prostitutes. There are 10 virgins. So as we study this next week, we'll be looking at the fact that Jesus now illustrates the fact that there will be some of God's people who will be like the foolish virgins. They won't be looking, just like Jesus said here as He spoke of the evil servant. And there will be some who are wise who will be looking. And when these wise ones hear that the bridegroom cometh, then they trim their lamps and they go out to meet Him. Now, the fact that we see in these verses of Scripture this morning is that we are to be ready. Look at verse 42 of chapter 24. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. We know the season. We don't know the hour. We know the times, as in reading the signs of the times. We don't know the day. But if I know the month or the season, then I can be expecting that to happen. I was not caught unexpectedly with this low temperature we had this morning. I'd already closed the vents on my house. I'd already got the pipes wrapped. I'd already got the outside faucets ready. I'd already stacked some wood on my porch. I'd done things. I got ready for it. And I did that when it was 70 degrees. But I knew the season of having such a low temperature was upon us, and that might happen in just 24, 36 hours. So I wasn't surprised. But I had read the times. And you can read the times. We can understand that it is time for the Lord to come, and we're commanded to watch and to be ready. As an illustration of this, Jesus speaks in verse 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. What Jesus is saying with this illustration is that if you know there's a thief on the loose, then you're going to watch for him. And when he comes, you're going to run him off, so you're not taken by surprise. And Jesus is using this to illustrate that we can know when the Lord's coming is near. And then we can be expectant and watchful, and we'll not be caught like the person who didn't expect his house to be broken into and therefore suffered loss of his goods. We are to be ready, and we are to be faithful. Notice in verse 44, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. When then, who then, that is, what person, is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season, that is, to function in the realm of a house tender, a person who oversees, if you will, an estate. Now, that's the kind of circumstance that he puts us in. You're like a person who's overseeing an estate. And if you will be faithful in overseeing the estate or the household, then when the owner or king or queen or whatever, when they come back, then you're not embarrassed and humiliated by not having looked after things faithfully. In verse 47, you'll notice that the faithful person who rules the household well, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. In other words, here's a person who's been given responsibility over a certain thing. He does well in looking after that, so that when the owner comes, he expands the man's opportunity to manage and to look after things. And this is what Jesus is saying. This is what we're going to learn in the next two chapters, really. That is, or rather in chapter 25. And that is that he's given us a job to do as Christians. And we are to be actively doing what he has told us to do. If we are, when he comes back and finds us faithfully doing what we're supposed to do, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, what are those things we're supposed to do? If we're found doing these faithfully according to the Word of God, then there will be a place given us in the millennial reign to be rulers. Now you say, this is a fantastic thought, that one day we will, as God's faithful saints, rule the world. That's absolutely true. It is a fact. It's not some sort of theological daydream. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to bring peace. He's going to establish peace. And then he's going to take his people and send them out over all the world to rule over certain geographical sections of this world as people who have been faithful in his church doing what he wants them to do. We have a great opportunity here as a people to earn rewards. We don't earn heaven. We've already got our souls saved. We already guaranteed of being eternally in the presence of God. That was accomplished when we had faith in Jesus. But we haven't got our rewards because they have to be earned. I've already gotten a salvation because it's a gift of God. But I am to earn the rewards that we are to be given as a people when we're in the millennial reign. There are those, all of us, who are to be ready. Verse 47, who then, or rather verse 47, verily I say that he shall make them ruler over all his goods. That is, he's consistent with the Scriptures in living his life. Those who are not ready are spoken of in verse 48. But if that evil servant, now this is not a lost person. I know it sounds like it, but it says evil servant as opposed to a faithful servant. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. See, my Lord delayeth his coming. Here's a person who believes in the second coming. It's not someone who's saying, no, he's not going to come. I don't believe in him. But it's someone who says, I believe in the second coming of Christ. I believe in Christ. But he delays his coming. That is, they depend upon delay. What are they going to do? Since they've decided that the Lord's going to delay his coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunks. Look, they will become abusive. Because they feel like the delaying of Christ's coming gives them a license not only to abuse their Christian friends, but to join the world in its drunkenness. And that's what happens when we quit watching, looking, anticipating, and being ready for the coming of Christ. Now, the Lord will come and judge. In verse 50, the Bible tells us, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, that is, as a thief in the night. And then what? And in an hour that he is not aware of, this person's going to be caught totally in a situation of surprise, and shall cut him asunder. Now, that sounds like he's saying he will be sent to hell, but he isn't. And upon him his portion with the hypocrites. Well, he is a hypocrite. That's why his portion will be with the hypocrites. But we're not talking about eternal damnation and hell's fire. But you say, look, preacher, it says there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What you're looking at is the fact that many people have never come to know and will not accept. And that is that unfaithful children of God are going to go through a time of great unhappiness at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And let me show you what will happen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul tells us about this, and I realize that he's talking about preachers and about being stewards of God's house. But if you just look, or let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now that's preachers and you and me and deacons and everybody else in the world that is a Christian, that is saved. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's the judgment there. You say, well, that's fine. I don't see any problem there. All right, look with me now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Not going to read all these. Beginning at verse 9, he says, "If we are laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building." That is, you people are what God has put you on earth to be. You're like a husbandry. You're like a person who tends to vineyards and things of that nature. But let's look at verse 14. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." That is, if you do things and live your life according to the Bible, it's like building with gold and silver and precious stones. That is, with cut granite that are finished by putting gold or silver leaf on them. Not talking about precious stones as diamonds and gems and jewels and things of that nature. You don't build buildings out of that. You build them out of the cut stone. Then you put the facade of silver and gold upon them so that when the fire is put to it, it doesn't burn. So Paul is saying, like buildings that the Roman Empire builds, like the Colosseums, and faces it with this precious stone. This is what we're talking about. "If any man's work shall be burned." Notice, if any man's work shall be burned. If it's wood, hay, and stubble. Now notice, verse 15. "He shall suffer loss." Okay. Now if you say it doesn't make me any difference, just as long as I get to heaven, that's all I want. Well, if you live your life with the drunks, if you live your life like the evil servant, if you live your life like the foolish virgins, then one of these days you are going to suffer the loss of any reward you would have earned and gained by living your life according to the Word of God. And at the judgment seat of Christ, where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ to the glory of God the Father, at that judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged according to your works, the good works and the bad works. The bad works, if the works are not built upon gold, silver, and precious stones, then you will suffer loss. They're going to be burned up. Well, you say, what will happen to me? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That is, just like a man's house burns and he stands over there just in his pajamas, not a thing left, but he's alive. People who are saved and who live their lives as evil servants, with the drunks, and like the foolish virgins, when the millennial starts, they're going to be just like a man in his pajamas standing out watching his house burn and didn't even get a picture out of it. That's suffer loss. At the end of the millennium, then everything's going to be the same. But for 1,000 years, you're going to regret not serving God. For 1,000 years, you're going to regret that you didn't give your money, you didn't go to church, you didn't witness, you didn't believe the Bible, you didn't stand for the faith. There'll be 1,000 years of regret for unfaithful people. So we're going to study that next Sunday.